Hello, I'm Lina Khmudu. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at how to keep up with your healthy eating goals during the festive holiday season. But first, the World Health Organization says it has decided to keep its alert for the mpox epidemic at the highest level as the number of cases and countries affected rises. In a statement, the UN International Health Body says the decision was based on the rising number and continuing geographic spread of cases, operational challenges in the field, and the need to mount and sustain a cohesive response across countries and partners. The WHO Director General, agreeing with the advice of the International Health Regulations Emergency Committee, has determined that the upsurge of mpox continues to constitute a public health emergency of international concern. Mpox, previously known as monkeypox, is caused by a virus transmitted to humans by infected animals, but can also be passed from human to human. Now, a child in California has become the first in the United States to test positive for bird flu infection, authorities said Friday. The child from Alameda County in the San Francisco Bay Area had mild symptoms and was said to be recovering at home following treatment with flu antivirals, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and the California Department of Public Health. The initial test detected low levels of bird flu virus, suggesting the child was likely not infectious at the time of testing. A follow-up test 4 days later returned negative. We turn now to nutrition and wellness. The holiday season is here, and with it comes family gatherings, festive meals, and often the temptation to overindulge. Staying committed to healthy eating during the holidays can be challenging, but it does not have to mean giving up on your delicious meals or your health goals. So how can we navigate holiday meals mindfully and create healthy, flavorful dishes with holiday leftovers? We will discuss this and much more with today's guest. Joining us in the studio is Chef Cynthia Anderson Clay, motivational speaker, health and wellness coach, and author of The Art of Healthy Cooking, A Journey to a Healthier You. Chef Cynthia, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you. So the holiday seasons, it's here this year. I mean, in the United States, starts with Thanksgiving, and yes, this is 2 days away. And one of the things, as I mentioned in my introduction, is that we tend to overindulge when it comes to eating, drinking, and having fun, basically. So when we walk into the holiday season, what is the first thing we have to think of in terms of thinking about our health, wellness, eating habit? What should we think of?
That's a great question. And, you know, you think about it, it's like 11 months into the year, right? And now all of a sudden, all these like massive events that all involve eating. And so sometimes you go to not just one location, you go to two.
Yeah.
So you have to plan, especially if you're on a healthy journey, right? You don't want to go all year and then here comes, you know, Thanksgiving in the United States and then Christmas. And now the next thing you know, you've kind of gotten off track, right?
Yeah.
After you've put so much time and effort into it. Or you just want to be a little bit mindful this year and not overindulge. So in thinking of that, you want to do portion control. I'm never going to tell anybody don't do something. That's your doctor's job, right? To tell you what you can and cannot have. But I'm going to share, hopefully, some healthy tips where people can enjoy their family and friends and not have to sit in a corner saying, I wish I could have something. Because you can. It's portion control. So think about, and I talk about this in my book, think about portion control like the palm of your hand.
Okay.
Also think about, you know, what you want to eat first. You remember the in school we learned about the pyramid of the food triangle.
The food triangle.
You know,
yeah,
it's
the food
like
pyramid.
The
yeah.
food pyramid, and yeah. it's like, it, and it's very true. You know, you want to lead with leafy vegetables or anything that's full of color, and usually that's going to be your salads. That's going to be your vegetables. Mm-hmm. So when you're starting the marathon of Thanksgiving, you want to just really think about that. Eat as much vegetables as you possibly can. Start there and then move into, you know, your more starches and then finish with a protein. Some people can do it in reverse. Maybe you don't want, maybe protein is, you want to be protein heavy. So then you will start with your meat and then your vegetables and mm-hmm. then, you know, go to more of a starchy and later on, you know, but it's time, you know, work within a time frame. Have one small meal, wait a couple of hours, have another one. Or you can even think about, I'm going to have my salad at Aunt Sally's house. I'm going mm-hmm. to have, you know, my turkey at another family member's house. And maybe I'll wait and have dessert at someone else's house. That way you can get to all three. You don't have to have meal after meal after meal. You have to
That's
just,
a good tip.
You
That's
just have to think
tip.
About, be strategic.
Yes, even in food, eating, you have to be strategic.
You have to be strategic.
Yes, and you talk about portion control.
Yes.
And the palm of our hand as yes. one measurement, yes. If you will, measurement reference. A question that I like to ask is, what if you have small hands with big appetite?
But interestingly enough, and you can Google this. Your stomach is pretty much the palm of your hand.
Really?
Yes. So when you're doing that, if you're doing, it doesn't matter. If you have small hands, you probably have a very small stomach.
Okay. So interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the reason why we say, you know, you want to make sure it's like the palm of your hand, because that is essentially the size of your stomach. So mm-hmm. you can check off that box because you don't have that to worry about.
Okay.
But I think that, you know, just really going back to just in segments, you know, just small portions, 5 times a day. I think that, you know, people, you'll be fine. I don't want people to really think about, oh, you know, because growing up, it's like, you got to eat your breakfast. And you do. But, you know, you have to wake up and the first thing that you think, be mindful about what you're putting into your body in the morning, because you are truly breaking a fast.
Okay.
That's why they call it breakfast.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to think about that. And basically what you eat, the first thing that you eat in the morning is what your body's going to crave the rest of the day.
Really?
Yes.
How so?
So I start with just water and lemon. Because I'm flushing my system out.
Yes.
Right? And then I'm going to have something with protein in it. Because protein is going to fill me up. So I want my body to want protein all day. Right? If you think about, sometimes people say, oh, I'll wake up and I'll have an apple. Well, now that's sugar. Now your body's going to want, or a banana. And they're like, but I started out with a vegetable or fruit, you know. And it's like, yeah, well, you did, but it's the sugar, and that's what your body is going to crave.
Let me ask you, Chef Cynthia, what is the biggest culprit, if you will, when we look at food ingredients and all the components of food? Is it sugar? Is it carbs? I mean, you talk about eating protein more often. Is it not an offender at all? Can you survive on protein, lose weight, be healthy? Or do you need a balance? I mean, they always talk about balance, but it seems like sugar is a problem, or maybe carbs.
That's a great question. And you really have to take a look at it from the vantage point of your own body.
Okay.
What's probably good for me is not going to be good for you. Okay. That's the reason why. And it really depends on what your journey is. If mm-hmm. you're trying to lose weight, that's going to be one set of questions. If you have like heart disease, diabetes, high cholesterol, that's going to be another answer, right? Because you want to be laser focused on those things. Mm-hmm. And people with diabetes, you know, their sugar levels fluctuate so much. They have to be really mindful about their intake. So I would really tell a person who was really struggling with diabetes to stay away from sugar. Have it naturally, organically. Mm-hmm. If it's already in, like, that's, you know, people that are diabetic really can't have a lot of fruits and vegetables because some things are very high in sugar, but you can, you know, be mindful of those things. And having a nutritionist, working with your doctor, having a goal. Mm-hmm. Some people have, you know, some of these illnesses are hereditary,
yes.
But some of them are not. They are really just the cause of what you eat. You are what you eat. You know that saying?
Yes.
And it really is that. And so, you know, clients that I work with, I always say, what's the end goal? If the end goal is to be off of medication, because, you know, once you start with cholesterol, then the next thing you know, you could potentially have diabetes issues, because one thing leads to the other.
Yeah.
And so you really just want to get to the root of it. You know, I help people eat healthy. We work with a nutritionist and your doctor. It's a triangle over here, because you have to be mindful of what your end game is going to be. Interestingly enough, one of my good friends' husband is diabetic, and I can come over. They will remove all of the salt from everywhere off of the table, because they're like, oh, Cynthia's coming. Chef Cynthia's coming. They move all the salt out of the way. But it's real, though. You really do need to remove the salt from your diet, because it's really not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and being mindful of that. So some things are hereditary, some things are not. And what your blood test will show you is what you can do to help to avoid some of these things if it's not hereditary.
Very interesting. I mean, you said so many things that my eyes have opened because I like, for example, when you talk about breakfast, I want to ask, you know, because this idea of fruit being healthy, I mean, you really have to tell us today, what is the deal with fruit? Because we hear that fruit is healthy. Next thing you know, Chef Cynthia is telling me that having an apple in the morning is sugary and it's not the best way to start the day. What do we do?
So that's a very interesting question on a lot of different levels. So number one is, remember what I said, it depends on what your end game is. If you just want to live a healthy lifestyle, there are certain things that you can do because you're exercising. All of the things that I'm talking about are, you know, you have to throw in exercise with that, right?
Yes.
So you can, if you want to have an apple, if your body is craving an apple in the morning, I'm never going to tell you not to have it, but I am going to tell you just to be mindful that your body could probably want sugar for the rest of the day. An apple is probably the one that's the least amount of sugar in it. But what I'm really referring to is like things like pineapple, berries, you know, strawberries. Those are really higher
bananas.
They're very high. They're higher in sugar than anything else. So if we were going to say, well, I have to have some type of fruit, I probably would choose an apple, because you know what they say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Does
right?
it really?
So I think that most you know, centenarians that I talk to who have lived a very long time, that they will talk about eating apples and things like that. So, you know, just keep that in mind, just understand. And most people, you know, you want to get in your 5,000 steps a day, and sometimes people want to do more, but at least be active and be mindful of the fact that this is what you want to do. We want to live a long time
and healthy, yes.
Right? We want to have as least ailments as possible, because as we, you know, age, you want to age gracefully, but you know, you want to be mindful of what you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Now, holidays, coming back to that. When you see, like you said, you go to Aunt Sally, you eat this,
that's
and you go to Uncle Joe and this and that, and there's food everywhere.
You have a dessert table,
yes,
right?
I mean,
so that's like 14, 15 different types of desserts, because everybody wants to put their best foot forward. Like, oh no, it's my sweet potato pie. Well, no, my sweet potato pie. No, I use my great grandmother's sweet potato pie recipe. So mine is best. And you don't want to be an ungracious, you know, participant in this, right? So you want to try a little bit of everybody. So there is this thing called willpower as well.
Well,
you know, so you do have to have a little bit of that. But just, you know, I tell you know, my clients that I work with, exercise, like walk it off. Just understand that, you know, weigh yourself, be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just weigh yourself throughout the week so that you aren't, so you're seeing, oh, wait a minute, I might be going a little bit over, just like similarly to people who wear waist beads, right? They yes. wear them so that they can manage and monitor and understand, you know, oh, wait, I'm a little bit too much that day. So let me.
I didn't know that was part of the goal.
I learned that recently.
I thought it was a beauty, a fashion, right?
Yes, no, I have learned that, and that's what people. That I have talked to.
That's interesting. What they do. Guess what?
My starts here and then it goes down, yeah. right? Because you've lost some belly fat.
My jeans and my mirror are taking care of that. I mean, they do not lie.
You don't need a waist bead. Gotta suck it in a little bit more.
Absolutely. So listen, why did you start? I want to know a little bit about your journey, and we're going to take a break, but just so you know, I just want to know a little more about why you started in this field, because you do a lot. You have you have a wide range of expertise, but why was it important for you to narrow down to this healthy cooking and empowering people? We're going to get your response when we come back after the break. So it's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back and have more with Chef Cynthia. Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us on the show today, we are looking at healthy eating around the holiday season and beyond. My guest is Chef Cynthia Anderson Clay, motivational speaker, health and wellness coach, and author of The Art of Healthy Cooking, A Journey to a Healthier You. So Cynthia, Chef Cynthia, before the break, I ask you, what interest did you find in focusing on healthy cooking and empowering people?
Yes. So one of the key areas that really sparked me to do this was my daughter and then my parents. So my daughter, growing up, when she was a young girl, she did not want to eat certain things. It's like she would just eat a little bit off of her plate. And I'm like, why is that? And I check with some of her other friends and they were doing the same thing. Check with some of the other parents. So I started educating her about what you can, like good carbs, bad carbs. Mm-hmm. So it really started with her and then helping her, like taking her with me to go grocery shopping. We started looking at ingredients more so that she could be educated as well. And even at like 11, 12, I had her go to a nutritionist. Because I believe in education.
Yeah.
Education is definitely key because you have to be empowered with your own body. You have to take control of that. And then later with my parents and their health challenges. So I would make sure that they had healthy meals. Even in my mom's later years, I pureed her food for her she could have really, really good tasting food, because if it wasn't good, she wasn't going to eat it. So, so those were my inspirations. Mm-hmm.
So now from this inspiration, a very rich and empowering journey leads to writing a book, The Art of Healthy Cooking, A Journey to a Healthier You. So talk to us about this book. I see a beautiful picture on the cover, but there's more to it.
thank you very much. Hey, when I first started out on this book, the name of it was The Art of Cooking for One. And I had just some friends that are in marketing, and I'm a research buff. I research anything. So I brought people in and I said, let's talk through it. Let's make sure that what I was putting into this book was going to be effective and mm-hmm. it was going to be meaningful. And first out of the box, one of the persons that I had, she said, change the name. She said, because if I'm single, I don't want to always be single. So cooking for one person, that could be depressing to people. I was like, I didn't think of it that way. I thought it was more empowering. So thought about it, and the art of healthy cooking, because that's truly was the message, right? Mm-hmm. And it is an art to it. So what the book talks about is this could be for, a novice cook, or it could be for someone who's just really starting out. This talks about pantry. It talks about everything that you need, staples, your go-to items that you're going to need. So I have people who give this as a gift for like people who are graduating from college,
idea.
As like, hey, here's your cookbook. Or when you go to college, this is another opportunity for them. So that it has everything in there. I like these dishes because it's 5 ingredients or less for the most part, right? So this is not going to hit your wallet really heavy, and they're interchangeable. So sometimes, there's things that you have inside of your house. I really like to take a look at, I tell everybody, inventory your refrigerator I like 5 ingredients or less because you are being budget friendly and you're being conscious of, again, what you are intaking. So
very interesting. So let me ask you, what is your favorite recipe?
Oh my goodness, I have so many. It depends if I'm entertaining.
Okay.
I have a baked brie that I really love. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is so easy because you're just going to use a pastry puff and you use the brie and you can put like lemon curd on top of it. You can put, I encourage people, take the recipe, make it your own. So if you like lemon curd, use that. If you like some other type of preserves or jams, or you might have a aunt or your mom or sister or cousin that makes preserves, use that. Put some nuts on it because I love to have that crunchiness with some cheese. Mm-hmm. And you bake it, and that's perfect. Everybody goes wow over it. You cut it open, and then all the ingredients start oozing out of it. So it makes it a very delicious and, appetizer. Something else that's in here is I love breakfast. And so my French toast casseroles are to die for. Now, this one might not be one of my most healthiest recipes, but again, I wanted to make sure that people had something that everybody could use. Because if you make it too healthy, people are not going to want to do it, right?
Yes. And then you can do healthy and then once in a while cheat a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this does. So that's what I love about the French toast casserole. So I'm all about remixing ingredients, remixing things, trying to try different things so that, if we want to stay away from sugar, we can do that. But what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So I use a lot of agave.
Oh.
So I'll sweeten things with agave. I use natural sweeteners like blueberries and strawberries, and you bake that into your French toast, and that's what helps to make the casserole. So just trying to be mindful of using nature's ingredients, right? Mm-hmm. Which is nature's natural sugars, but so that you don't need a lot of different types
of sugar. I like the fact that you're suggesting to use nature's ingredients, fruits, to sweeten.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Huh, didn't think about that. So they may not necessarily be good to start your day with, but they can be good to, sweeten your food.
Absolutely. And just
some of them, I mean.
Absolutely. And think about it. You can have fruit. I love fruit. But if you're on a health journey, just think about like at least one cup per serving, so if it's breakfast, just one cup, if it's lunch,
mm-hmm.
just try to think of it that way so that, because people will say, well, I'm only eating fruit. I don't know why I'm not losing weight.
I went through that.
Because it's sugar. So
I went through that. That's why it's like eye-opening for me because, I did that. I said, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. And I stack them full of fruit and fruit and fruit. And you're like, the scale doesn't move. And the sugar.
It's the sugar.
It's tricky.
Yes.
So how important is breakfast? Because I'm not a breakfast eater, but I hear all the time, you need to have breakfast. How important?
That goes back to the protein piece of it, right? So sometimes people have regimens in the morning. Some people just, you know, like I was talking about me drinking warm water with some lemon. I have people who have tea. I have, you know, some clients that put turmeric and ginger into their, you know, to their water and with some lemon. And that's the way they start their morning. Your body will tell you what it needs. We have a very intelligent being in us, right? So just listen to your body. And it really depends on what you're into. Turmeric might be too much for some people, but it just has, it's a natural digestion. Something really good for your digestive system. So, you know, just think about those things. And again, whatever is your journey is always the end game. That's what we want to make sure we're paying attention to. So back to that, it's like protein. So in the morning, what I like to do is I'll have a smoothie.
Okay.
So I'll have my cup of fruit with my smoothie. I'll have like, I use coconut water. And I'll put protein, I'll use like a vegan protein powder.
Okay.
And that's my morning. That's what I have for breakfast. My body is used to that.
Okay.
So I can do that with no problem. But I fast. I don't eat before 11 and I stop eating at 7:30. So I have that window for me. And so my body's going to crave different things. So in the morning, I enjoy a smoothie, you know, and then in the afternoon, I'm going to have something. I might want some protein with some vegetables and a carb. I'll do like brown rice and quinoa. Okay. And in the evening, I'll probably do, you know, more of the same, but more vegetables. So like some steamed broccoli and some fish.
Okay. So breakfast, is there a time? Basically, breakfast means breaking fast, right? So when you haven't eaten since the day, the night before, then you're breaking fast. But is there a time that we should eat breakfast? I mean, you mentioned that you eat at around 11, right? Your first intake of food. So that also is breakfast, right? If you eat your first intake of food at 12, is it still breakfast or it's just lunch and just have lunch?
Well, that is going to be your preference. You know, people, we talk about breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but some people eat pancakes for dinner. You've heard of that.
That's
people,
right.
It's like people eat pancakes for dinner. So, so it's not necessarily a breakfast, something from the breakfast menu, if you will.
Okay.
It's really just what your body needs and you know it best. So if you are a person that you have to know your schedule, if I'm going to need, if I have like a yoga class or Pilates or something, you know, I'm going to need to fuel up. Right.
Yeah.
So you want to fuel your body with what it's going to need for your task of the day.
Okay.
If it's a light day, you know, sometimes people might want to do a bagel with some cream cheese and maybe a cup of fruit.
Okay.
You know, you might want to, you still might want to do a smoothie. You might put some protein. Maybe you'll add some Nutella to it, you know, or some acai. You know, you to create it yourself. Put some spinach in it. I use fruits and vegetables.
So we have to play around
around. And see how your body reacts to it. So if it got you through that, you know, yoga class or, you know, if you are doing orange therapy or whatever, you know, you are doing Zumba, if it got you through it, great. Because now, because you have to teach your body.
Okay.
You know, you have to educate your
One thing I wanted to mention, and speaking of being mindful, you know, one of the things that we don't pay attention to, it seems to me, is the seasoning.
Okay.
And some of the seasoning that you buy in the store, they are so salty.
Yes.
And they can be so bad, at least I think. So tell us about seasoning, because I know it's something that you really empower people to be aware of.
Yes.
And you also have your own brand of seasoning. So tell us about that.
Well, thank you. You know, I really think about this education. Go to the grocery store, look on the back of whatever seasoning, spices that you're looking at, and read the ingredients. Nine times out of 10, the number one thing that you're going to see on there is salt. So you just want to make sure. And also, sometimes you'll see seasoning and it says salt-free. But if you look at the back of it, it's maybe it has low sodium.
Yes.
So it's not 100% with no salt in it at all.
Okay.
So just educate yourself, read the back of the ingredients.
Okay. Cynthia, so this is all the time we have today. How can they reach you?
Oh, okay. So thank you. Please follow me on Instagram at @1_ChefSin. My website is www.1chefsin.com.
And that's Chef Cynthia Anderson Clay joining us today. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenor Mudu in Washington, with producer Mukbilia Barrow. Until next time, and take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.